What would little David, who came to Pirates games, think that you got to come out of that bullpen to Renegade? They played it again while you're on the mound at one point for a 100th career save in a Pirates jersey in front of Pirates fans.
It's really special. You know, I think every day I just have to pinch myself. It's so special, and it's been awesome.
And just like that, it's over. David Bednar is a New York Yankee. 15-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Fan weather, overcast here in Pittsburgh. I don't know if the rain ended up making its way down to Latrobe. That's why the Steelers practice at 10 a.m. Donnie will have training camp live from Live Casino in Greensburg at 6, but he'll also be reacting to all the Pirates moves. We have the one big one, David Bednar. Hour and 3 minutes away from the actual deadline. All the expiring contract guys are still here. Mitch Keller is still here. No one believes that Mitch Keller is going to get traded. Joel Sherman, who is on MLB Network, has covered baseball for decades. His report is the following. The Pirates value Mitch Keller like he's a two, and teams around the league value Mitch Keller more like he's a four. So that's why there's no trade there. They can't see eye to eye. I mean, look at some of the starting pitchers who were out there. Guys having better years than Mitch Keller. Merrill Kelly in Arizona, who's going to be a free agent. Mackenzie Gore, Edward Cabrera from Florida. I mean, there's guys out there.
He is closer to a four. Their valuation of him is wrong. I understand that you want to value your player more highly to try to get a better return.
Right.
But if everybody's telling you more or less the same thing and you're the one insisting that it's actually not that thing, you're probably in the wrong.
So I wouldn't bank on that. Ben Cherington did make a comment on his radio show Sunday that he might not trade the Tommy Pham's and IKF's of the world.
Even if a player's on an expiring contract, I don't feel like we have to trade them. I think we only do if, again, we believe the combination of the return that we get and perhaps the opportunity it might open up, again, like, puts us closer to that goal of being better in 2026. If the answer is no, we believe that the contributions that that player will make over the next 2 months or what they're going to add in the clubhouse or whatever is more valuable, then no issue just holding and letting it play out. So we'll see.
Yeah. So maybe Pham, IKF, and or Heaney all end up in a Pirates uniform beyond today, which
given
would
Ben's,
make almost no sense to me.
Given Ben Cherington's adoration of middle infielders who quote-unquote have versatility, I would make a prediction that of those three, somehow IKF, the guy seemingly least likely to still be here, Pony, will somehow end up being here. Because is there anything Ben Cherington has proved more than just a middle infielder?
Harold Reynolds ripping the Pirates a new one. This comes from our old friend Eric Hagman. Reynolds on MLB Network moments ago, predicting big things for Key Brian Hayes. It's a great move for Key. He's going to get around great coaching. He's going to get around a great system. He's going to get around winning. The Reds have not done a lot of winning. That is more a testament to Terry Francona and his reputation as a manager and the coaching staff he surrounds himself with. And I would concur that that is a lot better than what the Pirates have. No disrespect to Donnie Kelly, but one guy's won World Series rings and ended curses and things of that nature and got Cleveland a couple outs away from winning a World Series.
Eric's tweet right before that was, at least Hoy Park isn't part of the Pirates' return in the Bednar trade, so they have that going for him.
Yeah.
Didn't you hear a nugget on Key Brian Hayes, or was that something you wanted to stay off the air with, just about his, you know, the idea that he would hit?
They're already trying to take
the loopiness out of his swing.
Yeah.
Yeah, more loops than Fruit Loops, basically. The longest bat-to-ball swing I've ever seen, and you have heard that they are already, they took one look at it and
deconstruct
said,
it.
Hell no, we're breaking this thing down to the component parts and building it back up again.
David Bednar to the Yankees, that's the big move. He's from here. He came out to Renegade. He had success here. He had failures here. All-around great guy. We've interviewed him several times. He cares about the area. He cares about the teams here. He really is a true Pittsburgher. But, you know, I'd rather have 26 guys in the clubhouse from Kalamazoo if they were winners and good players. Like, not going to say I couldn't care less about if they're from here, but I, like 99.9% of people, prioritize the players that are going to come here and help build a winner. But these are lottery tickets in at least two cases, with the players coming back, single A players, a teenager in one of them. And then Flores has rocketed through the Yankee system, but he had no pedigree whatsoever. He is 24 and has no AAA experience other than 10 games. He was called up after the All-Star break. Off to a slow start there, but I'm not going to read too much into that. Crushed AA pitching. Henry Davis also crushed AA pitching. He was the eighth-rated prospect in the Yankees organization. He is not, I don't think, ready to plug in. I don't think he's going to get called up here and skip AAA and be the Pirates catcher in Colorado.
He's not turnkey at all. There's no way.
So there's still some refinement and development that has to take place, and that's where I become skeptical of things, because I don't trust Ben Cherington at all.
Hypothetically, let's say Ben Cherington was, just for argument's sake, there was a deal for a player put to him that maybe the centerpiece was 18, 19, 20, like at least 2 years away from the majors, okay? Uh-huh. And that guy was higher ceiling, potentially lower floor, like more feast or famine, because anybody at that age usually is.
Yeah.
But he felt like he needed to make an impact closer to the here and now, and so traded for a guy like Rafael Flores. Wouldn't you want to make sure, if that was your thought process, that the guy you traded for actually could get to the majors this year? Because if that's, because some people are going to speculate that that's exactly what happened here. He's not even getting a guy who's going to play for this team.
Well, that's
this year.
So far, I mean, that's been the theme. When you're a bad team, you trade for prospects, generally speaking. You don't trade for guys who are major league ready or close to major league ready, because when you're a losing team, you usually don't care as much about, you know, the timeline, because you're rebuilding. This is one of those weird oddities where they're in year six of a rebuild and they're not really that close to winning. So what do you do? Do you try to accelerate?
I would try to stockpile big boy players here. Like
regardless of what
yes,
level?
Yes. I'd be swinging for talent more than anything. I would be. But if you're Ben Cherington and you have no idea if you're going to have a job with this team, you're probably trying to do the opposite.
But also, like, the farther away they are, the more things that can go wrong, haywire, screw up between single A and the major leagues. That's the downside of it, too. Not only the wait, but is it going to be worth the wait? Dude, it's a screwed up situation all the way around. You're not supposed to be talking this way in year six of a regime. You're just not. If you are, usually the people that were in charge are gone.
Except they're not.
And somebody else is forced to come in and clean the mess up and say, should I, you know, play the long game, or can I actually do this in, you know, microwave fashion and get them back to winning in a year or two? It's tough, man. Like, even with Paul Skeens, I do not feel like they are close.
They're not, because they're not. They've just won 8 of 9 to get from 39-61 to 47-62.
Yeah.
Pulling them a mere 17.5 games out of first in their division.
412-928-9370. Here is Aaron in Greensburg. Hello, Aaron. Aaron? Thank you, Aaron. We wanted you to give us a take there. Scott is next. Hello, Scott. Hi, Scott.
Oh, hey, this is, can you hear me?
Yep.
Hey, thanks, guys. Hey, love the show.
Thanks.
Hey, 2 points real quick. So, first of all, I personally don't believe that Bednar is the elite closer that somebody like Mason Miller or Duran are.
He's not.
So I think that's part of the reason they got the return.
He's pitched better than Miller this year, but he doesn't have the strikeout stuff, and he doesn't have the contract, and he's not as young, and he's probably not as good. Yeah, I agree.
Agreed. And the second part of that is that Bednar, if they had made this trade 3 months ago, we'd be talking about how great of a trade this was. Now, Bednar,
but they didn't make it 3 months ago. They made it now, so that's kind of an irrelevant point.
Well, he was a negative .9 WAR player last year. He hasn't been good for a full season since 2023.
And if they had traded for Rafael Flores a year ago, no one would think much of it because he was an unknown player. Things change.
Well, you're right. Things change. All I'm saying is that it was an underwhelming return. I agree. However, I'm not ready to throw this deal out. I miss Bednar. I'm glad he's from here. but I think this was a good trade. They got three bats, including one who could be here next year. I think all things considered, they did pretty well.
One of the other two bats who's not in AAA is hitting .209 in single A.
Yeah.
.209. Actually, he could be here sooner rather than later. That would put him right in line with the rest of the lineup.
I'm not throwing this trade out. I'm not. All I'm saying is that, and it's not just Duran, and it's not, by the way, there are some thoughts out there that the Pirates could have gotten one of the players in the Duran trade for Bednar. Duran is better than Bednar. He's been better this year. He's got 2 years left on his deal, so they should get more back. Helsley, who went from the Cardinals to the Mets got the 8-14 prospects in St. Louis's organization for 2 months of a closer. That's almost the same as the Pirates got back for a year and a half of Bednar. So I'm not feeling good about this trade because of the guy who made it. I can't stress that enough. Here's Chuck in Uniontown, who always has an opinion on these things, and we love hearing from him. Hello, Chuck.
Hello, Tony. First of all, I'm disappointed that I missed you last week.
Yes, sorry, we were on the air. My bad.
Yeah, that's okay. I still like you. And I'd tell you the Willie Mays story anytime you want to hear it. But anyhow, I am just disgusted with what's going on because, as I said before, if you have to coax yourself that you made a good trade, like in this situation, you didn't do it. Because to make an effective trade, and by the way, when was the last time we made a trade where the joy was unrehearsed, you know?
I got bad news for you, Chuck. The last time my joy was unrehearsed for a trade they made was Chris Archer because I couldn't believe they were going for it. So that might not be the best example.
Gee, I mean, okay, a lot of people did.
No, I know what you're getting at, though. It feels like you've got to talk yourself into it one way or another.
Yes, and when you have to do that, you did not do right because you make a trade like that, as far as I'm concerned, we've got an F so far for this trade deadline. And
wow.
For Pony.
Yep.
Pony. What?
Go ahead.
No, yeah, you're giving him an F for the deadline. And, man, it's getting late early out there for offloading some of these veterans on one-year deals, too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and what was your one more thing, Chuck?
Yeah, because what's worse about it, like you, I disagree. That guy in the GM seat should never be making trades like this. And the worst thing for me is, if this is the overture to what's going to go on in the off season, you know, when we're supposed to really get some offense to make us a contender, haven't helped this because, to me, the overture is not good.
Yeah, it's a very... If he's allowed to make the moves and this is a prelude or an omen, it's real bad.
Again, they're freeing up roughly $20 million with these moves. So where does that money get reinvested? Left field, shortstop, third base. Those four positions for sure.
But you only...
Wait.
Only, that's three positions.
Third?
Left field, yeah. Short, and third.
I had another one in my head. I was trying to figure out if I said catcher or first base. I said neither, and then I said four. So that's why that happened. But...
That's $20 million. You can probably get, I think, two useful players for that. Two useful regulars you should be able to find. Would you like me to do a quick
perusal?
And
then what, you bring IKF back maybe? And he's your shortstop? You go sign a left fielder and third baseman? Maybe you don't trade Tommy Pham and you sign him to another one-year $4 million deal?
Yeah, Tommy
Pham, eyes are fixed.
Now that his eyes are fixed, he becomes a fringe MVP candidate. I'll point out again that most of IKF's value was supposed to be tied up in the fact that he could play multiple positions and that you would play him in multiple
David
positions.
Bednar has been traded. That is the one Pirates deal of the day. You just heard lifelong Pirates loyalist Chuck in Uniontown give the Pirates an F for the trade deadline.
Payroll, the exercises to get better. We just communicate that honestly, and in that we say, look, we're open-minded. We want to hear about what your ideas are. There's obviously players we're going to value extremely highly, but the more information, the better. And
Ben Cherington saying there they're not dumping payroll. They have trimmed money off the 2025 roster in the hopes that that money will be reallocated for better players at more vital spots next year, in year three of Paul Skeens with the Pirates, not wanting to waste the greatness that is Paul Skeens. 6-8 right now on the season, even though he has a microscopic ERA.
Full disclosure to everybody out there before Pony continues onward here, I played a little game on Spot Track with free agents to be next year. Guys at the positions he mentioned, left field.
Not a deep list.
Shortstop, third base, first base, yeah. Catcher. Every single player Pony said, yes, I'd be interested to, is way out of the Pirates' price range. Every single one of them, in theory.
Ray Fittipaldo usually joins us. He will next week at this time because we're 44 minutes away from the trade deadline. And David Bednar, who's from here and went to an all-star game here and people have strong opinions on, has been traded to the Yankees of all teams. Ray's spots are brought to you by LGKG, the born and raised Western PA injury attorneys who take your personal injury cases personally. Getting your reaction, let's hear from Jeff. He's on the fan. Hello, Jeff.
How are you doing today?
Hey, man. We're good.
Hey, here's my biggest concern about this. Jake Bird, who has a 4.79 ERA,
yes,
went to the Yankees, and the Yankees got 10.
Your phone broke up there. What happened?
20. Jake Bird went from Colorado to the Yankees.
Yep.
And Colorado got the 10th best and the 28th best pick in the Yankee system, and Jake Bird is not a third-tier reliever. I think it just goes to show two things. One, Charrington does not have the ability to make a deal, but it also shows that the Pirates went out and got what their own scouting report identifies is a pull-heavy hitter. And Flores, a pull-heavy hitter that sounds just like Davis, it means that the selection of Davis was a complete and utter failure.
Well, that part I think they are admitting here. Malzi, give me Henry Davis's double-A stats, and let's compare them to what Flores has done.
I'd be happy to do that, Pony.
So I've got Flores pulled up here. Give me what Henry Davis did at double-A Altoona in
his career. Davis at Altoona, his first little run-through, that would have been in, what, 2022, I believe.
Can't you just get the full double-A stats?
He stunk his first time through in 31 games there. He only had a 703 OPS.
But if you go down to Baseball Reference, it'll give you complete double-A numbers. What
847 OPS in three seasons. He hit 14 home runs. He knocked in 45 in 74 games of double-A ball.
They're
384 on base percentage, 463 slugging percentage.
They're close, man.
He then became better in AAA, actually, than he was in AA at a 965
But not
OPS.
A lot of games. Well, more games
79
now
games.
This year.
He had more games in AAA than he did in AA.
But not on his road to the majors.
Yes, on his road back to the majors after hitting multiple potholes in the majors.
Flores at AA is 857 OPS. More games, so better power numbers. But what I'm saying is Flores' AA production isn't all that much different from Davis, who's been a bust in the major leagues, and Flores has only played 10 games at AAA so far.
They're chasing a catcher, and they don't have one. They're chasing a catcher like an inside linebacker for the Steelers.
If Flores had done...
Who are they going to pick next, Devin Bush to play catcher?
If Flores had gone 16 homers, 60 ribbies at AAA this year, I'd feel much better about this trade. And I know everyone says, oh, the gap between the major leagues and AAA has never been greater. But if he was putting up these numbers at the, you know, the second best professional baseball league in the world, at AAA, mm-hmm. instead of the major leagues, I would be like, okay, if he can put up the numbers,
I feel like he
there,
was going to be their opening day starter next year. Or something.
I feel like he could play for them right now.
Right now, yeah. Like if he had a body of work that suggested that he was just on a warming plate for the major leagues, sure. But that's not the case here.
Aaron in Greensburg. Hello, Aaron.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, man.
Hold on, I'm battling the wind. Give me a second here. I can see why the Steelers are sketchy because the weather here, it just kicked up and the wind's going.
All right, Aaron, we're gonna put you on. Are you good to talk, or do you want us to let you go?
No. I'm good to talk. And Malzi, thanks for letting me roast 3 weeks in the heat after the tryout.
I don't know what we're doing here. Thank you, Aaron. I'm going to let you go. I'm confused by everything. that was happening there.
Does he mean, like,
Dom, did you feel that call? What happened?
What
was up with that?
Was he a next up on the fan guy? I'm not in control of how that.
He was the guy that had the connection trouble, so we dropped him or put him on hold, and then he called back. I don't know what was going on.
I thought the guy who had the connection problem was Connor.
No, I think it wasn't Aaron.
Yeah, it was Aaron.
I can't get over that Chuck in Uniontown. The man will tell it like it is. He had one of the best days of his life at PNC Park.
Gave them
very
an F
grateful for it,
today.
Very thankful of it, very appreciative. But then when it gets back down to the brass tacks of baseball, it's just like, yeah, you didn't curry favor with me in a way where I'm just now going to rubber stamp everything you do. F.
True fan. True fan.
Here is Mike and McMurray next. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Hey, we were talking earlier about Charrington. He's had those two all-stars, Bednar and Skeens.
Yep.
I think it's important to remember, Skeens, you can't mess that up. You can't give Charrington any credit for Skeens. You just have to be grateful that they didn't draft someone else or ruin his development. So I
disagree with that. I don't give him enough credit where I think it's like a job saver. But it was not unanimous for him to take Skeens over Cruz because Cruz was considered such a good prospect and he's an everyday player. So he should get some credit. But that doesn't mean I trust him to make trades and I think he's the right guy moving forward. Not by a long shot.
Yeah, I agree. And I think everyone agrees that Charrington shouldn't really have a job in Pittsburgh anymore. My question for you guys is, who do you think should be the next GM? Like, everyone wants Charrington gone, but who's the next man up?
I think you go, my preference would be to go to two places. You go to the small market teams that have, like, a guy that they're grooming to be their guy and see if you can poach him. And then you ask around and say, hey, who are the people that the Dodgers and the, like, and I know the Dodgers, they spend a bajillion dollars, they can buy championships. But if they have someone who's working under Friedman, who they do not want to lose under any circumstance because they think he's that valuable, I would try to hire that guy. Because the reason why, you know, they not only is Friedman especially brilliant and great at his job, but they pay a lot. So their lieutenants are higher paid than yours and in theory probably better than yours. And even though they don't have experience maybe in small marketplaces, that doesn't mean they don't have the skill set to apply what they know about baseball to a situation where maybe the resources are not as plentiful.
Can I suggest that whoever your next GM is, that they not be an Amherst College graduate?
Because that's two in a row, right?
Yeah.
Huntington
with
and
a New Hampshire, New England background.
Well,
yeah.
They're shooting 50%
yeah,
on that, Chris.
Yeah, I know, but the last one was a brick. Last one was Philip Seymour Hoffman and a long game.
Would you take Huntington back? I would not.
No, I would not. The only thing I will say about Neil is Neil always would come on and trade barbs with you and occasionally, you know, not face the music isn't the right word, but Neil would defend himself if he felt like he should be defending himself. He'd face the music, and Ben doesn't do that.
Yeah.
Just a fact. That's
well, even
that's
though
point in fact.
Even though Huntington would do his what?
He would do his radio
show. Simulations thing. What was
yes 10,000 simulations?
His 10,000 simulations.
Yes.
He did talk more like a regular person.
Well,
than
he
Charrington
would.
Does.
I've been sitting in this chair when you asked Neil Huntington a question that pissed him off.
Yeah,
and seeing a real human emotion come out of the person.
Yeah.
Was I think a valuable thing? There's an accountability factor, and Ben Charrington is accountable to one thing every week, and that's his show. Okay, before Sunday games. And then it's just this bloodless retelling of why he does what he does, and most of it just, frankly, comes off to me as word salad.
Do you have a favorite salad?
Caesar, I think, is classic. Came to it late in my career.
How about Cobb?
Cobb is a full meal.
What's wrong with that?
I mean, it's not, but I think you go Cobb salad before an entree, buddy. You are piling it on.
You want a dinner, a restaurant hack?
I'm waiting.
You want a restaurant hack, Dom?
Please.
Order a salad at a restaurant and get whatever meat they have as the meat that is supposed to go on the salad for an upcharge and say, yes, can I get that, but can you give it to me on the side? Not all chopped up, but just like in regular, like whole form. And you'll be shocked by how big those portions are. And you're basically getting like a whole salmon or whole chicken or whole steak that is on the
restaurant. Don't they know
restaurant.
That you're trying to pull a fast one on them?
No.
Though?
Every place has done that for me.
Hey, I'd like a Caesar. I'd like a chicken Caesar salad with a chicken breast uncut on the sides.
Yeah, I say, can I get the chicken for the salad on the side?
So they've already pre-cut it.
No, most of the time they haven't.
That's the amazing thing to me. They're just giving you a cooked chicken breast that you presumably think is more chicken than you'd otherwise get.
Correct.
This doesn't seem like it would be allowed. I don't know what restaurant you're going to.
Here's my thing.
You think it's people that just want to treat me nice?
I don't think it's an actual hack, Dom. I think what it is that when he sees the as-yet-to-be-cut chicken breast there, even though it's the same size as the amount of chicken that's on the salad, his eyes tell him it's more chicken. He thinks he's
but
getting
a deal. But why is that same chicken, when it's an entree form, so much more expensive than just the
Because presumably they're cooking
the
it's a more interesting preparation. You can't be like, I'd like a Caesar salad with a side of chicken piccata.
All right, that's fine with chicken, you're right. Like, but how about in the case of salmon? Salmon is salmon, folks.
Who puts salmon on a salad?
Oh, it's a big thing.
Yeah, I've seen it done, Dom.
Also, steak is steak.
Is it steak Oscar, steak Diane?
So when you get filet, you get Oscar and Diane style more than just salt and pepper and that's it?
No, I don't. I'm just saying.
Exactly.
I'm just saying steak is not just steak.
I'm right.
If you said I'd like a Caesar salad with a 6-ounce filet on the side, I don't think they're just giving
total
you a filet.
Total request Thursday. You want more David Bednar trade talk? That's what we're going to give you. There should be at least one or two other trades made by the Pirates in the next 33 minutes, excuse me. We will bring them to you when they happen. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. 29 minutes away from the deadline. We only have the big David Bednar trade. Only is kind of relative because it is a blockbuster deal, getting rid of a hometown kid for prospects for three minor leaguers. Rafael Flores, the 8th-rated Yankees prospect, is the biggest name player in this deal. Tommy Pham is still here. IKF is still here. Andrew Heaney still here. Mitch Keller is going to stay here. Dennis Santana. We'll see what happens there.
I just realized something.
Yes.
Your 5 trades, seemingly a walk-in touchdown, suddenly looking a little bit suspect.
Because Frazier doesn't count.
Frazier does not count.
So I've got...
You've got the Ferguson deal.
1.
You have got the
Hayes deal, two. And I've got...
And you've got the Bednar deal. So he was strutting to the end zone, folks, and now he might have gotten tripped up by the turf monster in Bucco Auction House.
Also, Taylor Rogers, the
still hasn't
Reds
been moved
reliever
yet.
On an expiring deal who came back in the Hayes deal.
If Ben Cherington merely does not execute more than one more trade, it'll be a great deadline by
him. Do you have news? You made a face and leaned over to your microphone,
over.
Dom, like you had something for us.
No, I don't have anything.
He and I are just the backwards hat club today.
I think Malzy stole the look from me, by the way.
I did it yesterday because I realized that when I pull my hat low, like I like to wear it, it looks very, you can't see my face on camera. And so I thought people would at least want to see my face instead of a guy looking like he's in witness protection.
Here is Michael on the fan. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys.
Hey, man.
Big fan of the show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
So I'm not shocked by what's going on today with the deadline. Cherington has proven over these 6 years to be a totally mediocre general manager in every facet. And, he shouldn't even have this job. And so, I'm not surprised about the return. And I really don't have much to add other than that.
All right, that's fine, Mike. So...
Do not
a big
like
thumbs
Cherington.
Down for the Ben Cherington era. 2,000 people have responded to our Twitter poll question. Do you like the David Bednar trade? And 84.7% say no. Jeff Passan really likes this trade, and he typically hates everything the Pirates do. It's also odd because, for the most part, Passan, who is the Adam Schefter of baseball, just, breaks news. He doesn't put in his 2 cents.
But he did this time.
And it's like the only trade
that he has sounded off on
his Twitter page today where he wanted to give context to the deal. Everything else is just, here's the deal getting finalized. They told ESPN, this player going here, this player going there. This is the one trade where he wanted to make sure people knew. The actually, that's not true. The only other one was the Shane Bieber deal. where he pointed out that the prospect going to Cleveland from Toronto is one of the biggest pop-up prospects of 2025.
Other than that, he's only given like context, like why the Carlos Correa deal only happened the way it did because he had a no-trade
clause.
But
he wanted to let people know that the Pirates got good players back in this deal.
He didn't even, when it was DeVries going back in the Mason Miller, J.P. Sears deal, he didn't even say like, wow, what a haul for the A's. He just said
He probably just assumed people knew he was a big prospect. You want to weigh in on the Bednar trade? 412-928-9370. Here is Owen next. Hello, Owen.
Hi, guys. First of all, if I want to say, Tony, you are right about the salad thing. I swear it works every time.
Thank you.
Two, I will say, I've said this before. I don't know why. I'm tired of getting prospects. We do this every year, and it's the same recycling system. I'm tired of prospects. I say get rid of all of our prospects and just work on this team next year. We have the starting pitching to win a wild card series, so why not?
Was this the Greg in Youngstown theory from earlier in the show?
Yes, that they should be going
just
after
be a,
hitters.
Be a
that
buyer,
are
be an aggressive buyer. Everybody not named what Connor Griffin is up for grabs. Did he say Bubba Chandler was safe too?
No, he did not.
So he just said Connor Griffin is the only untouchable. Empty the system.
I honestly don't think they have the starting pitching.
They have Paul Skeens.
They have one guy, and Falter has overachieved.
Keller is much closer to a four or five than he is a two, and they think he's a two. And that if you think Mitch Keller is a two, I sure hope to hell you think Bubba Chandler becomes a two
like,
immediately.
Where do you think they rank in team ERA this year? Where do you think they are relative to everybody else as a pitching outfit in 2025?
Like
they are seventh.
Okay. Wait a minute. Why did I say 13th? I know they've allowed very few runs. I should have just done the simple math there.
Yeah, they're seventh. So you know what? I mean, look.
Seventh, but I wonder what starter ERA is for them.
You can win a World Series that way. And now as far as runs scored goes, they are dead last. Mm. They are 19 runs behind the 29th ranked team, and that is the team they're going to play Friday, the Colorado Rockies. Why do I have the weird suspicion that they're going to go from sweeping the Giants
to getting swept by the Rockies? Because they're atrocious on the road, and I'm not even going to look too closely at this, but I will at least check. I'm going to guess the Rockies, who suck horribly, are slightly better at home than they are on the road.
Here is Jeff next. Hello, Jeff.
Andrew.
Jeff and Jeanette.
Hi, Andrew.
Hi.
Malsy, Dom, nice talking to you guys. Thanks for taking
Hello,
my call.
Anytime, what's on Jeff, your brain? What's up?
Listen, give me a second to talk before you interrupt.
Go ahead.
Because, Andrew, you have a tendency to interrupt, okay?
Yep.
Just give me a second here, okay? When we consider, like, I would trade Paul Skeens right now for certain assets. Okay. So when we announce a trade, right? Like a Bednar trade, it's like, oh, we trade a Bednar. But we don't focus on what the assets are we getting back after. I'm not saying you guys excluded it, but I need some type of a semblance of what are we getting back. You know what I mean?
So you want us to tell you again who the Pirates are getting in the trade?
Well, I want kind of an assemblance of a barometer, you know what I mean?
A barometer of what?
Do you want like a known commodity? Is that what you're saying? Trade anybody as long as for a known?
No, I think he just wants us to describe better the players and what they've done who are coming back in this trade. Am I following
exactly.
that correctly?
Exactly.
The feature piece is the eighth ranked prospect in the Yankee system. He is a catcher who I can legitimately say rose from complete obscurity. He was playing for a semi-pro team called the Alaska Gold Panners not that long ago. He had a growth spurt once he got into the Yankees system.
He tore up Double A.
He is a pure pull power hitter at 6'4", 230. He ripped up Double A and in a very small sample size right now has not hit yet at Triple A. We were told by the Yankees Triple A play-by-play man that he's a really good guy in the clubhouse, a good personality, that he has decent pitch framing skills.
No, I think better than that.
Well, I've heard differing reports. The Yankees Triple A play-by-play man said they were really good. Other people said he needs work. I've also seen people say, Jeff, that he profiles more than likely as a power bat that comes off the bench and plays both some catcher and some first base.
And the other guys they got are at single A. One is a 19-year-old who plays catcher and first base and is hitting 207. And the other guy is 209. And the other guy's a center fielder at single A.
Okay, so let me ask the next question.
Go ahead.
Do you think that the assets that we got back warrants the trade?
No.
And that's what we're all about.
Thank you, Jeff. What
did we just do there?
Once in a while, that's good. You reset. He wanted us to sum up our feelings on the trade and what they got back.
It did serve as a nice reset.
He must have just dropped in
about.
And is like, wait a minute, you guys haven't really talked about the players they got back in the deal.
Do you know those things back in the days before the internet was super advanced? You'd like send a text to your phone about getting Mr. Movie Phone. I kind of felt like we were doing that routine. Like,
oh, where you would like
Die Hard 2 is playing at 11:31.
Well, didn't Cosmo Kramer do that on Seinfeld?
Yes,
where he was the movie phone.
Yes.
Have you seen that, Dom? Episode?
No, because Seinfeld sucks.
Oh, here we go.
And I refuse to watch that show.
What's your favorite one? King of Queens?
My favorite TV show ever?
Sitcom like that.
Modern Family? The Middle?
Not bad, but you've also disqualified your take on movies and shows by saying Jack and Jill is Adam Sandler's best movie of all time.
Well, how about you watch it before casting aspersions?
I haven't watched it, you're right, because
I refuse
to. Do
you think the phrase casting aspersions has ever been said in an Adam Sandler movie?
Yes.
No, I don't think so.
It was actually the opening line to Billy Madison.
Or Hubie Halloween.
I knew that, Mosey.
Here is Ozzy in Washington. Hello, Ozzy.
How you doing, guys? I just want to say, I think it's a horrible trade. You know, I just can't understand the Pirates. Every time they get someone that has talent, when it comes to their contract, they don't want to pay them, and they trade them or get rid of them.
Ozzy, can I ask you a question? Are you the man who in the early days of this station's history would call Seibel and Starkey as Lightning Ozzy and go,
no way.
That's right.
What? Where the hell have you been for the last 15
years? And
why
did you ditch Lightning from your name? That would have gotten you pushed right to the front of the line.
What's happened?
Well, you know what? As you get older, you change.
Can you sum up the last 15 years of your life for us?
Yeah, and can you, if you don't mind me asking,
we appear to have fallen out of touch with you.
What age did you start at in 2010 for this exercise, and what age are you now? You're acting like you went from 25 to 40 and grew up and got mature.
Well, I traveled the country a lot. I went to a lot of countries in the last 10 years.
Can you name some?
And now I'm just going to stay home and listen to Pirate baseball, football, and, you know, just relax.
But, give me the most exotic country you went to in the last 15 years.
I went to France. I went to Brazil. I went to England. I went to Italy. I went to Egypt.
Egypt's pretty good.
Wow.
So
in those world travels, you realize there's a bigger world out there than just calling into a sports station as Lightning Ozzy and going, woo!
That's right. That's right. But
cool,
anyways, you have to agree with me when it comes to spending the money for hitters, because that's their problem. They can't hit. Okay? And that he does not want to spend the money on getting hitters. That was a dumb move, getting rid of that pitcher. I mean,
All right, Ozzy. Well, next time, don't go 15 years in between calls. We appreciate it.
Who's calling next, Hulk?
You know,
that's a YouTube commenter joke. I did steal that one from the YouTubers.
The bigger problem is, though, like, they do need to spend more on players, period. But yes. The real issue here is that they don't do a good job of building and creating their own guys. Like, even for, I know the Mets went out and got Lindor and Soto.
A lot of these teams, though, have guys that come up through
the
their
Dodgers
system.
The Dodgers got Otani. But those teams go up and down their roster. I bet they have more players that they drafted and brought up on their own in their lineup than they did guys they brought in free agency.
Well, like the Dodgers, even a guy that they didn't like draft right away, they picked up scrap heapers like Max Muncy. Turn a guy like that who was
so originally not an expensive guy is what you're saying.
Yeah, he was with the A's. Remember that story?
Yeah,
and he was a complete nobody, and they bring him into the fold and turn Max Muncy into suddenly like this unbelievable power hitter who's hitting 35 home runs a year after he looked like a non-entity as a baseball player. And like, that's always bugged me the most. Not bug me. Bug me is the right word, Pony. Those teams like the Dodgers have all the advantages in the world financially. They also just seem to be better at the stuff that is financially agnostic in baseball.
The Dodgers, 6 out of their 9 guys in their lineup came there in either trades or by drafting and developing them for the. Okay.
They've built a lot of pitching up.
Let's hit the sounder here, Dom.
Who's on the move? Another major league trade presented by Globe Airport Parking.
John Heyman is reporting that the Royals have acquired Bailey Falter. I did not see that coming. So they're going to keep Keller, and they're going to trade Falter. So Ben Cherington, his biggest trade win was getting Bailey Falter for Rodolfo Castro.
He has flipped that. He is now traded. Solid pitcher.
Here's the weird thing about that. The Royals have the same problem the Pirates do.
Tons of pitching,
the Royals
no
pitch, and they can't hit for bleep.
But they're 54-55 and still in it.
So who's coming back in this deal?